I want to thank you very much for tuning into the radio program today. In Hebrews chapter 10, there's a fascinating passage of Scripture dealing with some very important ideas, not just about going to church, but also about a great number of things you may not have realized were hidden inside the passage. Now, what do I mean by hidden? Well, they're not necessarily obvious to somebody upon first reading. In Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 19, the Bible says, "Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus." Now, in Hebrews, he makes comparison between the Old Testament things like the tabernacle and temple worship. The old Jews used to go and worship God at that tabernacle and at the temple, and they had a temple structure where you had the courtyard and you had a holy place, but then you had the most holy place, which was behind the veil. So he says, Jesus Christ gives us confidence, you see. We have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Now, this holy place that we enter into is a reference to our spiritual relationship with God in His kingdom, in His church. How do we do this? By a new and living way, Hebrews 10, verse 20, which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, His flesh, allowing for the entrance of His church by virtue of His sacrifice there for us on the cross. People today don't appreciate the fact that God has opened up basically the windows of heaven for us and has allowed us to see a glimpse of what it's all about in our work and worship for Him in His church. And yet people just discount it and act like, oh, I don't need to be involved in that. I don't have to understand anything about it. You do need to understand it, ladies and gentlemen. It is what God has planned for us through Jesus, for us to be a part of His church so that we might enter into the Holy of Holies, the most holy place, which is heaven itself. Now, He says we can do this since we have a great priest over the house of God. This great priest that we have over the house of God is Jesus Christ. He is our high priest. Now, it goes on to say then, verse 22 of Hebrews 10, now catch it, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith." Everybody would agree with that. You need to be sincere about your religion. You need to approach God with a full assurance of faith. "Having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience." The allusion here is to the Old Testament sacrifices where they would sprinkle them. And here you have the allusion to the heart. And it needs to be sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, obviously, he doesn't here refer to something that is a physical, cleansing from the sense that, you know, you're physically dirty and then you're physically cleansed. But there's only one thing in the Christian religion that uses water. How is it that our bodies are washed with pure water? Obviously, he's referring, you see, to the act of baptism here. Inasmuch as we have done this, then we have answered the call of conscience, as it points out in 1 Peter 3 and in verse 21. So anyway, a lot of people don't realize it, that, you see. You get into verse 23 and it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering." So the different aspects of what we have done to become a Christian are talked about here. And then he talks to us about, you know, keeping up with that commitment that we made. "For he who promised is faithful." Now, how do we stay faithful? Jesus is faithful, but we want to stay faithful. So he says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together." If you want to stay faithful to God, one of the primary things that is mentioned in the Bible is us simply sticking with Him through thick and thin in coming to church. "Do not forsake our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Somebody knows that they need to be in church. Why is it that people wouldn't go to church? Number one, they don't see the need. And number two, they don't see the importance. But if the Lord Himself gives it an importance, and you do not then attach an importance to it after you know this scripture, then you're just basically saying that I don't believe the Bible. I just don't see anything about it that is important. Now, the church is meeting. Why don't you want to be there? Because you don't want to be there. That's the whole point, you see. The forsaking of the assembling is not something that's new, but it certainly is something that is becoming epidemic, and really it has been among a lot of people for a long time, even right here in the Bible Belt. Oh, they say, well, this country is awash with Bible, and you got conservative people there in the Mid-South and everything. Yes, you do. The fact of the matter is, though, is that a great swath of these, I don't know, let's say 40% of the people, you're not going to church anywhere. and they say this is the Bible Belt, what does that have to do then with people up in other parts of the country, like say in the Northeast? You might have just say 30-35% of them going to church. And, you know, it's just an epidemic problem where people do not want to recognize God, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now, some people have made a habit of that kind of thing. They make an excuse not to come on Sunday. They come up with reasons not to come. And what is shameful is they come up with reasons for their children not to go to church. You know that as well as I do. If you decide, well, I am going to, just lay out. Number one, do you lay out of work? Some people do that. But, you know, they say it with church all the time, and they don't think anybody should think anything of it. Well, if I'm just going to lay out, well, that's one thing. That's bad for your soul. But they encourage their family to lay out. Why don't they want their family to go to church? Well, I'll tell you why, I see. It's because if that family grows up to live better than them, or to do better, then they're going to be able to look back to their parents and say, hey, what's wrong with you? You know what? Why don't you want to do this thing? They're ashamed of their own life, so they don't even want those around them to be religious. They're not satisfied with going to hell themselves. In other words, they want to take a bunch of people with them. Sounds like the mission of the devil, doesn't it? Not forsaking our own assemblies together, as the habit of some is, but encouraging one another. We should stimulate others unto good works. What are you going to do better than go to church when it comes to Sunday? Oh, somebody says, I spend my time alone with God out on the lake. You're fooling yourself and you know it. You know exactly why you went out there, and it wasn't to spend some quiet time with God. And if you thought that that was your quality time with the Lord, then, my friend, you don't know what quality time with the Lord is, and you don't know what the Christian religion is all about. Life is fairly simple. Go to church, go to work, help your neighbor. Now, how much simpler can that be? Go to church, go to work, help your neighbor. Now, if you think that there's more to it than that, if you think that, well, I'm going to find some mystical religion whereby I'm good, but I don't do what God says to do, then, my friend, you may have a religion, but it's not the Christian religion. Because the Christian religion is about you taking care of your responsibilities, it's about you honoring God, and it's about you being good to your neighbor. Because if you love the Lord, you're going to want to worship Him. And if you love your neighbor, you're going to want to help them. And you going out here doing things that you consider to be fun all the time, and you think that you're going to just diss on your responsibilities and act like, oh, it's all right, I've got an excuse. You don't have any excuse, ladies and gentlemen, not forsaking our own assembling together. Hebrews 10:25, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching or drawing near. You ask yourself, am I going to church this morning? Am I going to church tonight if it's a Wednesday? Or maybe a time for gospel meeting, you had an opportunity to go to church? And instead, you're choosing to do this, you're choosing to do that. Now, not all opportunities to go to church are the same. I do know there's a difference between just any old Bible study or special times like gospel meetings and the regular Sunday worship, because on Sunday worship, you have an opportunity to practice all the different forms of worship and to take the Lord's Supper. I know that. But a lot of people, they don't do that because, for the same reason they don't do any of the other opportunities for worship, because they just don't want to. And the Bible clearly tells us here in Hebrews 10:26, if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Jesus Christ has given Himself so that you might be forgiven of your old selfish ways of life. And now, what does He want from you? He wants you to be appreciative. He wants you to be grateful. He wants you to go to church. So I encourage you, do what you know is good. Do what will cause you to be a better person. And there is nothing that is burdensome about church worship. It's easy. We make everything convenient nowadays. So why not come on out and worship God in spirit and in truth? We believe that we do that at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ, and you're more than welcome to come out and to visit us any opportunity that you have. On Sundays, come by and see us for our worship services. 9:30 a.m. Bible study, shortly after 10 for worship, again at 6 p.m. for worship. Another Bible study Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. And thank you for listening to our radio broadcast today.